In today's gospel, Christ proclaims that love for one another identifies us as his disciples. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, and will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us here this morning, I'm sure, have had occasion to read a good book with all kinds of different characters and all kinds of plot twists and so forth. And as we're reading the book, wondering how it's all going to come together, how it's all going to end, what the climax will be. I'd like to suggest to you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that the Bible comes to an end in the second reading of today's Mass. The story told in the Bible comes to its climax in this second reading. Reading from the book of Revelation, which we know is the last book of the Bible. This is the last chapter of the book of Revelation, St. John's great vision of how everything will end. The last chapter of the last book, the climax of the whole story. Now, we know the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible, of course, is the story of God's dealings with creation and with us as humanity. We know the story. God creates everything. Men and women are special to him. From the beginning, sin comes into the world through us. God chooses the Jewish people to begin the rescue mission, so to speak. Christ comes, teaches us, dies for us, raises from the dead, sends the apostles out with the good news. That's what we see happening in the first reading today, isn't it? Paul and Barnabas and their associates going out, preaching the good news. It's called the age of the church. And we're still in that age, the age of the church. But today, St. John's vision shows us how it all comes to an end, what it all boils down to in the end. And really, it's a breathtaking vision if we stop and look at it for a minute. Think about what John says today. He says, "I heard God saying, 'Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. I create a new heaven and a new earth. I make all things new.'" Now think about that for a minute. But too often, I think, we have this popularized notion of heaven, you know, where when we die, our souls will go to heaven to be with God and we'll be happy forever. Well, that's not untrue, but it's not complete. What does God mean when he says, "I create a new heaven and a new earth? I make all things new"? See, we are not, or we shouldn't be, Platonists. The Greek philosopher Plato, and in fact most of the Greek philosophers, the ancient Greek philosophers, were dualists. What that means is that they had a sense of creation, a sense of reality that was both matter and spirit, soul and body, matter and spirit. But for them, matter, including the body, was kind of like a restraining force. If it wasn't actually evil, it kept the spirit from being what the spirit should be. So matter was kind of like to be done away with. Remember when Plato tells the story of the death of Socrates? Socrates is condemned to death, and he's actually happy to drink the hemlock. He's happy to drink the hemlock and die. Why? Because now his spirit will be freed from his body. His spirit will be freed to become what it's supposed to be. But that's not the biblical understanding. Remember when God creates at the beginning? We're taught how he creates. This is poetry describing his creation. The earth, the sea, the sky, the plants, the animals, human beings, and so forth. At the end of his work, what does he say? He looks at it all, and what does he say? And he found everything exceedingly good. Everything was exceedingly good. Matter, everything, body, it's all good. It's all part of God's creation. So, when God says, I create a new heaven and a new earth, if that's the way it ends, a new heaven and a new earth, what does that mean? It means that matter, the universe, will not pass away. That won't be destroyed. It's going to be transformed, transfigured, glorified. But it's not going to be destroyed. It will all continue to exist in its glorified, perfected state. That's what the risen body of Christ shows us, you see. When Christ rises from the dead, he has a body. He's not a ghost. He's not just appearing as a ghost. You touch him. Feel his wounds. He eats with his disciples. He has a real body, glorified, risen, different, but the same. His same body. That's the way it's going to be at the end. All creation, all matter, a new heaven and a new earth, everything glorified, including our risen bodies. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, all creation is groaning. All creation is groaning, even until now, waiting for the redemption of the sons and daughters of God. All creation waiting to become what it's going to become. New heaven and a new earth. Breathtaking, huh? Breathtaking. And then John says that God says, there'll be no more weeping, no more wailing, no more mourning. I will destroy death forever. If any of us have ever stood next to the body of somebody we loved, or if any of us have ever stopped to think for a moment about our own dying, how powerful are those words to us? Death will be destroyed forever. No weeping, no wailing, no mourning. Think about those people in the Ukraine, the weeping and wailing and they have to go through now. And that's not just true there. It's true all over the world. It's true in our own country. People suffering in various ways. The war, the division, the anger. All of that, no more. All of that done away with. See, that's what St. John says, what he means when he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the sea will be no more. That sounds kind of strange to us. You know, the sea will be no more. I mean, most of us would give our left arm for a piece of beachfront property, you know. The sea will be no more. What's that mean? Well, see, remember at the time of that St. John is writing, the sea was a fearful place for people. The storms, they had little boats that were not terribly strong, the storms, and not only that, once you got out from land, you didn't know what was out there. You know, most sailors in those days did not stray very far from sight of land. In fact, if you look at some of the ancient maps, you see written out, you know, beyond, out in a certain distance in the ocean, you see written these words, here there be monsters. Here there be monsters. The sea was fearful for them. So when St. John says the sea will be no more, what's he saying? Anything that's a danger to us, anything that causes us pain, anything that's a source of destruction, it's all gone. It's all taken away. And finally, One last thing. He says, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. God will always dwell with his people. But notice the motion here. It's not us going up to heaven, whatever we think of heaven as a place. It's not that. It's heaven coming down to us, to the new earth, the new creation. God's city, God's coming down to us to dwell with us. You know, in the letter to the Thessalonians, if you've ever read that letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, he talks about people rising at the last judgment, the bodies of people rising. And it says they'll go up into the air to meet Christ and they'll be with Christ forever. Sometimes we get sense of that people are rising to go to be with Christ in heaven forever. But that's not the movement. People are rising to go up and greet Christ to bring him down. To bring him down to the New Jerusalem, to be with us forever. One final thing. I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly anxious to spend my eternity sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That doesn't really sound like a very exciting eternity to me, you know. But when you think about what St. John says, I saw the New Jerusalem, the city of the New Jerusalem. What does a city symbolize for us normally? When you think of a city, isn't a city a place of excitement? It's a place where everything's going on, everything's happening. Theater, concerts, restaurants, museums, all kinds of possibilities in the city. So when at the end, the new Jerusalem, the city, comes down, doesn't that speak to us about an eternity that's fulfillment, all possibilities, all things that make us whole, exciting, amazing? St. Paul says again, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor can the mind imagine the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's the end. That's what it looks like. A new heaven and a new earth. All evil, all cast away. No more dying, no more pain, no more suffering. The new Jerusalem coming down to the new earth. And all of us being with God and one another forever. Imagine then why you can understand why the first Christians seeing things that way. The very last thing they would pray at the end of their Eucharistic services, the end of their masses, they would pray one Aramaic word, always, Maranatha. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Bring all that to be. Bring it all to an end. Bring the climax. Bring it. Come, Lord Jesus. So, that's what we see today, how it all concludes, how it all wraps up, how it all comes together. We see the climax, God's climax. And that's all God wrote. May God bless you.